you have hit the mark. My mind store of information includes the fact that, of the 50 outer worlds, Solaria is by far the best known for the variety and excellence of robot models, it turns out. It exports specialized models to all the other outer worlds. Bailey nodded in grim satisfaction. Naturally, Daniil did not follow an intuitive mental leap that used human weakness as a starting point, nor did Bailey feel impelled to explain the reasoning. If Solaria turned out to be a world expert in robotics, Dr. Hanfastolf and his associates might have purely personal and very human motives for demonstrating their own prize robot. It would have nothing at all to do with an Earthman's safety or feelings. They would be asserting their own superiority by allowing the expert Solarians to be fooled into accepting a robot of Auroran handiwork as a fellow man. Bailey felt much better. Strange that all the thought, all the intellectual powers he could muster, could not succeed in lifting him out of panic, and yet a sop to his own vainglory succeeded at once. The recognition of the vainglory of the spacers helped, too. He thought, Jehoshaphat, we're all human, even the spacers. Aloud, he said, almost flippantly, how long do we have to wait for the ground car? I'm ready. The air tube gave signs of not being well adapted to its present use. Man and humanoid stepped out of the spaceship erect, moving along flexible mesh that bent and swayed under their weight. In space, Bailey imagined hazily, men transferring weightlessly from ship to ship might easily skim along the length of the tube, impelled by an initial jump. Toward the other end, the tube narrowed clumsily, its meshing bunching as though some giant hand had constricted it. Daniil, carrying the flashlight, got down on all fours, and so did Bailey. They traveled the last 20 feet in that fashion, moving at last into what was obviously a ground car. Daniil closed the door through which they had entered, sliding it shut carefully. There was a heavy clicking noise that might have been the detachment of the air tube. Bailey looked about curiously. There was nothing too exotic about the ground car. There were two seats in tandem, each of which could hold three. There were doors at each end of each seat. The glossy sections that might ordinarily have been windows were black and opaque, as a result undoubtedly of appropriate polarization. Bailey was acquainted with that. The interior of the car was lit by two round spots of yellow illumination in the ceiling, and, in short, the only thing Bailey felt to be strange was the transmitter set into the partition immediately before the front seat, and, of course, the added fact that there were no visible controls. Bailey said, I suppose the driver's on the other side of this partition.